It's Saturday morning and time for the Coaches Show. An in-depth look at high school sports with the coaches and players behind the headlines on News Radio KWOS 950 and 104.5. Here's Missouri Hall of Fame sportscaster Kevin Kelly.
Good morning and welcome to the Coaches Show. It's the third day of the 85th Masters down in Augusta, Georgia. Joining us is the executive editor of the Aiken Standard newspaper, John Boyette. Good morning, John.
Hey, Kevin, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's moving day at the Masters, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm hoping that the weather will move out and we'll have a good day, but it looks like we might have some rain this afternoon.
Yeah, I was going to say late afternoon, I think, is what they're predicting. At least that's what I saw last night.
Yeah, I think it's 40% around 3 and then gets a little bit more chances later in the day. So fingers crossed that we can that it'll go north of us and we'll be okay.
One thing talked about throughout the week, John, is the fact that the golf course would not play anything like it played in November when Dustin Johnson won with a record score at Augusta National last November, 65 rounds in the 60s, 187 rounds at par or better for the week. Both were records, and I think the golf course gave everyone a reminder on Thursday, didn't it?
It sure did. I mean, you just look at how the ball was rolling out, and you know, if you look at the greens, they're already turning brown in some spots. Mm-hmm. So it's I think a little rain probably would be welcome for the players.
12 players broke par on Thursday. I think it's up to 40 on Friday. What was the biggest difference?
Well, I don't think we had much wind yesterday. I walked out early in the afternoon and walked the back nine, and you know, you could tell it was pretty calm, and you know, guys were really making a pretty good charge, and you know, the wind came up a little bit later in the afternoon, and but yeah, it was much better scoring conditions.
Take a look at it from the standpoint of the gallery. No one was there, obviously, because of the pandemic in November. There are people back to the golf course. Not as many, though, but there are people back at the golf course, which is great to see.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Augusta National never releases attendance figures, so, but I'm guessing it's about 20-25%. You know, in November, there were no ropes put up, no observation stands, and you know, they put the ropes back up this year, but you can still get a good spot and get right up close to see players play. And you know, I'm really hopeful for all the patrons that normally come that they can come back in full force next year.
John, one thing I wanted to ask you, you've been covering the Masters for a long time as a newspaper reporter. With social media and everything with regards to technology is concerned, how does a newspaper reporter cover the Masters today?
I was telling somebody yesterday, I said, back in the good old days before the internet, I mean, you could go out and goof off and you didn't have to feed the beast, so to speak. And you know, nowadays, you know, you gotta keep current with what's going on with Twitter, you know, posting updates on your newspaper website, and so it's, you know, it's a full-time job. So, you know, but it's still a lot of fun. And The great thing is that they have this technology now that, I mean, all this stuff is at our fingertips, and you know, the media capacity is limited. I'm one of the fortunate ones to be there in person, but they made it so easy. I mean, they're giving digital access to a lot of other reporters that aren't on site.
Mm-hmm.
So they can go to the Masters portal and, you know, download the transcripts and get video and audio clips, and, you know, it's really all there at your fingertips.
Can you get out on the course still, or do you basically have to be in the media room most of the day?
In this capacity, with my new position, I'm able to get out on the course more, so I'm not as tied to my desk. When I was at the Augusta Chronicle, I was sort of herding cats and you know, supervising about, you know, a dozen reporters. So in this capacity, I'm the only one representative for the Aiken Standard, so I've got a little bit more freedom. And where our local pro, he missed the cut yesterday, so I've got some flexibility this weekend.
You always have an interesting story heading into the Masters. Did you have one this year?
Yeah, I did a nice did a couple of, you know, interesting pieces. I thought, you know, I did a look at the 75th anniversary of the Masters resuming after World War II, and here in Aiken, my home golf course, Palmetto Golf Club, we had started a pro-am event in 1945 called the Devereux Milburn Pro-Am, and it was one of the leading, you know, events going into the Masters. It wasn't an official PGA Tour event, but it, you know, they had a lot of the, you know, Byron Nelson and won the first one, I think, and Sam Snead and Hogan, all those guys, the leading pros. Herman Kaiser won it one year, so it was kind of a big deal. And you know, the Calcutta was such a huge thing. Byron Nelson, you know, 1945 was his great year, and the amateur partner that he played with, he was a wealthy businessman, and he signed over the whole $10,000 Calcutta proceeds to Byron. So I don't think Byron made that much on the tour that year.
You know, Masters history, I took a look at it again last night. You talk about a who's who. You go back to 1951, 70 years ago, and Ben Hogan won his first Masters. In 1961, Gary Player won his first Masters. In 1981, 40 years ago, Tom Watson wins the Masters Golf Tournament. 1986, 35 years ago, a victory for Jack Nicklaus. Nick Faldo, 25 years ago, won in 1996. Tiger Woods won the Masters 20 years ago in 2001. It's a who's who, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, all those are great, great anniversaries. And, you know, even 10 years ago, the way Charles Schwartzel finished up with the four birdies in a row coming in. So, speaking of 1986, I've got a piece that's running in our paper tomorrow looking back. And I kind of polled some of my Aiken residents, golf people that I know. And 1986 is far and away the most popular win for those guys. So, I had a little bit of fun going back in the memory lane with that.
People want to read that. How can they get to it, John?
Go to AikenStandard.com.
We have you on every year talking about whether or not there's any changes to the golf course. Any changes for this year?
No, I mean, I don't think they really had any time to do anything, Kevin. The, 5 months, between the two Masters. And as you know, they shut down in the summertime, reopen in mid-October, and that's, you know, when they do a lot of the heavy lifting, so to speak. But, you know, Chairman Ridley didn't really indicate anything in his press conference Wednesday that they were going to do anything different to the golf course. I mean, you know, the big question is, you know, do we make 13, you know, longer, harder, do something different? And, you know, they might push that tee back at some point, but I don't really see any other big changes coming.
John, it's a packed leaderboard as we go to day three of the Masters. What did you take away from the first 2 days of the event?
Well, we're going to be missing Dustin Johnson, which, given his current form, coming in, I'm not surprised that he missed I'm a little surprised, but, you know, he wasn't playing great coming in. But, I mean, you know, Justin Thomas, we thought he was going to play well. Jordan Spieth, we thought he was going to play well, and those guys are right up there. Justin Rose, you know, he's got a great track record at Augusta, but, you know, I think he had withdrawn from Bay Hill, you know, a few weeks ago with injury, so I don't think he was on anybody's radar. Another great leaderboard, looking for some excitement this weekend.
You know, when it was so tough to break par on Thursday, he shoots a 65, and it all got started basically on a nice bounce to the left off the mound on 8, and he ends up making eagle there, and it really got him started, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, that's probably one of the great stretches in Masters history. What did he play? Those last 11 holes, 9 under, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was crazy. And, you know, just, you know, to beat the field, you know, to have, open up a 4-shot lead, you know, I think the scoring average is well over par that day, 74 and a half maybe. You know, just crazy, crazy good how he did.
And the second round, probably the best pairing of the day, was Justin Thomas and Tony Finau.
Yeah, those guys, I saw them coming in on 15, and, you know, Tony would be a popular victory here. You know, everybody likes him, and he's a, you know, great player, you know, has a good solid record here. So, you know, Justin Thomas, you know, he's starting to warm up here. He didn't have a great record, and I think he finished fourth maybe last year. So, you know, there's some heavy hitters in the lineup.
John, let's spend a moment and talk about the very emotional and special start of the tournament with the honorary starters this year.
Yeah, they invited Lee Elder to come be an honorary starter alongside Gary Player and Jack Nicklaus, and I think that was a great move. And my regret was that Mr. Elder couldn't actually hit a golf shot. But if you saw the ceremony, you saw that they brought him to the first tee on a golf cart, and he was carrying a portable oxygen tank. And just, my understanding is that he might have had a bout with COVID and, wasn't doing great. So, but it was great to see him there, and he had a lot of nice things to say. And in Augusta National, they're really trying to give back to the community, and they're cognizant of the social justice movement. And, so I thought it was a great gesture on their part.
All right, Justin Rose leads the tournament after the second day at 7-under. I want to spend a moment and tell me about these two golfers at 6-under, Will Zalatoris and Brian Harman. Tell me a little bit more about them.
I don't really know much about Zalatoris. He's a rookie, so if he's able to hold on, he would be the first timer to win the Masters since Fuzzy Zeller in 79. So I guess they, maybe it's the thing with guys with the last name that starts with a Z. Harman is a Georgia Bulldog. He grew up in Savannah, very highly touted amateur when he was coming through. He's won a few times, and a left-hander, good player. I saw him play some practice rounds with the other Bulldogs this week, and he played well in the match play. I think he was in the top three or four at the Players Championship. So he's definitely got game. He's not, from my understanding, he's not a long hitter, but he's obviously good putter, good short game, and it'll be interesting to see how those guys hold up.
For you personally, any surprises so far?
Patrick Cantlay, and I'm saying that because I had him in one of my pools. but he really played poorly this week, and I really thought he was going to do something. Obviously Brooks Koepka wasn't much of a surprise. I didn't have much expectations for him, but obviously he was disappointed if you saw his comments yesterday, and he missed the cut. Dustin Johnson just didn't seem like he was on the right. Something seems like it's amiss with his game right now. But these guys are all great players. They'll get it figured out.
All right, this is the third round of the tournament. Is it going to look more like Thursday's round or Friday's round today?
I think it'll be more like Friday's round. I think they'll want some scoring going on today. Typically they have one day. From my understanding, in the first couple of rounds, it's usually set up to be difficult one day, and I think Thursday was that day, and plus the wind and the firm conditions. But I think we'll see some good scoring today.
Some of the stories that I saw last night, everybody saying, watch out for Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, that would be an incredibly popular victory, and he loves that place, and I don't think anybody rolls it better than him. So he's great. He had 16 greens on Thursday, so that was incredible in those conditions. So it's I think he's the man to beat this weekend.
John, always appreciate your time. I know you're very busy, and we look forward to having you on again next year in April.
Hey, anytime, Kevin, and we'll hopefully be back to full capacity and back to normal.
Have a great rest of the Masters, John. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
The executive editor of the Aiken Standard newspaper, John Boyette, has been our guest from Augusta, Georgia. Again, it's moving day at the Masters. Round three starts about half an hour from now down in Augusta, Georgia. Back with more after the break. It's the Coaches Show on KWOS.
The Helias Foundation would like to express their continued thanks to their corporate crusaders for their continued loyalty and support of Helias Catholic High School and Helias Foundation, American Family Insurance, Greg Cobb Agency, Capital Region Medical Center, Central Bank, Coca-Cola Bottling Company, DeLong's and Diamond Pet Foods, Farmer Holding Company, Freeman Mortuary, Hawthorne Bank and Huber & Associates, Jefferson Bank, Quick Car, Riley Chevrolet Toyota, Tweehouse Excavating, and Winter Dent. They also want to extend their warmest gratitude to alumni, local businesses, the area community, and friends of Helias.
Spring cleaning, taking your allergy medication, and getting your car ready for that big summer road trip. All smart things you can do in the spring. You know what else is smart? Taking advantage of buy three, get one free, happening now at Big O Tires on select sets of tires with installation. We can't help you clean your garage, but we will save you money and keep your family safe on summer road trips with buy three tires, get one free. Big O Tires, the team you trust. Schedule an appointment at BigOTires.com.
The following ad is brought to you by Denning Pest Control.
There are some things that cost less, but work just as well. So why pay more? No need to splurge on printing paper, for example. And can anybody really taste the difference between name brand and off-brand Cheerios? For the same reason, practical people use Denning Pest Control, because they charge less for the same number of dead pests. Guaranteed. Save some of that money for something worth it, like a better barber, for instance.
This is Ryan with Denning Pest Control. Removing pests for less than the rest since 1947. DenningPestControl.com.
Have you been driving around a damaged car because you don't want to deal with the stress of getting it fixed? Take it to the stress-free body shop. This is Zach Fletcher with Fletcher Performance and Paint. We make fixing your car as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1, we offer interest-free 90-day snap financing to help cover the unexpected deductible cost. 2, we offer rental cars, so you'll have transportation while your car is in the shop. 3, continue life as normal without ever being carless or stressing about cash. Fletcher Performance and Paint. With FPP, it's easy as 1, 2, 3. FPPBodyShop.com.
This is Phil Freeman. When I think about this year being 60 years in business for Freeman Mortuary, the word that comes to mind is proud. How proud I am to be a part of the Jefferson City community. How proud my father would be to see a third generation of the Freeman family operating our business. Funerals have changed a lot over the years, but what hasn't changed is our compassion and commitment to serving our families.
For three generations, creating meaningful ceremonies as unique as your loved one since 1961. FreemanMortuary.com.
I'm John Marsh for KWS Zimmer Communications. Are you a person out there maybe looking to change careers? We have buildings full of people at Zimmer who have changed careers. They worked in auto dealerships. They worked in big box stores and came and found what they were looking for with our sales team here at Zimmer Communications. Building relationships with clients, helping their businesses grow. Watch how it happens. Come work with me, John Marsh, Zimmer Communications. ZimmerCommunications.com.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back. We are joined now by Blair Oaks Falcons head golf coach Leroy Bernskitter. Coach, a great week of golf and less than ideal conditions for the Falcons this week.
Sure was. It was great to see the boys play so well. Some tough conditions, that's for sure.
Monday, you won a quad against School of the Osage, Hallsville, and Versailles. You came back on Wednesday and won the Versailles Tiger Invitational. The following day, you won the Boonville Masters Tournament on Thursday. So it was a great week. I think Wednesday, you and I talked earlier in the week, Wednesday was less than ideal to play golf, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, we were really surprised that we got that one in, but we just got lucky because it rained on us for a little bit to start, and a little downpour, but it stopped. And then, the course at Versailles, it ran off pretty good, and so the guys were able to get back in there. A couple of times it rained on us again, and then we beat that big hard run right at the end. We were in the clubhouse on that one. Now, Thursday, the temperature was tough. It was a little breeze, and it was pretty, and it just never did stop. It just drizzled on us all day. So I'm really proud of the boys. I mean, not only to play and shoot well, but to go through those conditions. And I thought, hopefully this just toughens us up if we have this again later.
It's a situation, too, with your golf schedule. Again, you take a look at, like, as an example, the Versailles Tigers Invitational and the Boonville Masters Tournament are involving a number of schools. If you don't get that in, the likelihood is it just comes off the schedule and you can't reschedule it.
You're right. It's just hard for them to find an opening. Most everybody's got their schedules set. The only thing that maybe this year we had a little extra week was Misha, got rid of the sectionals and a lot of people didn't, and they moved the districts back. So that first week in May, a lot of people are still looking for something to fill. We went ahead and put a quad on our schedule just to make sure we didn't have a whole week off.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about your golf team. I think you have 13 golfers on the team this year and a couple of seniors.
Yeah. Last year we had a good number and didn't have any seniors last year. And then again, COVID took care of that season. And it was a hard one because we didn't get a chance to see some of these young guys. So this year, we still got a pretty young squad, but we got two seniors, Jay Clauser and Brady Kicker, and they've got some experience. They've been playing since they're freshmen, and Jake's, was an all-stater in his sophomore year. So, but it took him a little while to get things going because he went from he's a heck of an athlete. Goes from football where he overlaps and then goes to the basketball court and then gets done with the basketball on Friday. And then Monday, Tuesday, we're down at Eldon playing. So,
right.
The other day, Thursday shot a 76 under those conditions was pretty good. So those two were looking for the leadership. And Jake is starting to do that, and that's what I'm hoping. They didn't get these other guys to understand what it takes to get us to that next level, and that's to get out of districts and get to state. We got a dogfight, though. We got four other kids that are, fighting in there. Got Dylan Bryan is a sophomore who's really one time was a baseball player, but has really picked up his golf game. And now this week he's pretty well established himself as our number two golfer. Not far behind Jake. It's just that he lacks the experience. Once he gets that, he could be one of those pretty good golfers where we're looking at where he could shoot a lower number than what he's doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that happens. That would be a big key for us. Like I said, Brady Kicker's one. A little inconsistent sometimes, but we're hoping that he gets, you know, a little more consistent here these last few weeks. Got J.J. Quayle and Nick Clauser and Todd Bischus, and they're all – it's a hard one for a coach because one day one shoots well and the other one doesn't. And the following time we play, they flip.
Right.
And so Wednesday we got to go up to Southern Boone Invitational and they only get to bring five. So, you know, one of them's going to have to sit out, and that's the tough thing.
Yep. Every golfer's different. What's the biggest challenge for you as a golf coach?
I really think it's to get them to, you know, it's two things I always look at them. I think sometimes they get caught on just the distance. You know, they all like to gather and they love to just whack, you know, and just see how far she goes. And there's always that challenge, you know, and I think every golfer's that way. Is, you know, that big drive, you know, and but to figure out doing wrong and see if you can make that adjustment, that's, I think, a big one, and that's for everybody. And so that's tough, but I think, you know, some golfers have gotten to that point where he kind of does, or he'll just say, hey, you got a suggestion, and you can just say to him, and he'll go, oh, yeah, I got it. And, you know, once they, I think then you see their numbers go down. And I think the next thing is, can they just let go of a bad swing? You know, they'll have a bad one. And, man, you can see by their body language, they're still carrying it two holes through. And next thing you know, they got these big numbers. And that, I think, is what I've been preaching to them for the last couple weeks. Is, can you just let it go? You know, and it's easy if I can catch up with them, and then we'll just get off the topic, you know,
mm-hmm.
get their brain off of that darn bad shot, you know, that they're worrying about. And next thing you know, it's affecting the next swing. And they're, I'm hope that they finally, because Coach Bernsker is repeating it, that they finally understand it. And, you know, not this, like I said, you can turn the TV on today and watch the Masters. There's going to be some of them in the woods. You know, you just can't be. And sometimes a couple of our guys, they want to be perfect. And I said, that's hard. In any sport. And so if you can just not be too hard on yourself.
The Mike Ferguson Show.
That's what Black Lives Matter is, trying to change. You just need to bring people
Black
together.
Lives Matter is a Marxist-based organization.
Well, in your opinion, that's so.
No, that in the statement from the actual founders of Black Lives Matter, they have acknowledged that they are trained Marxists and that's a Marxist movement. That's not my words. Those are their words.
Okay, but you guys use Marxism as some kind of bad thing. It's not necessarily.
Yes.
Not necessarily,
yes, I do.
Okay.
The Mike Ferguson Show. Afternoons, 4 to 6 on KWO.
Nobody wants to delay boating season because their dock isn't ready. So if you're bidding a dock job, it could come down to who can get it done now. To make sure it's you, check out Frontier Metal. Frontier Metal has their own roll former on site that allows them to produce the custom R-panel you need on the same day. So if you need your dock building supplies right now, head to Frontier Metal.
Hi, I'm Jerry Martin from Frontier Metal. Frontier Metal, your new frontier in building materials off Highway 52 in Versailles and at FrontierMetal.com. Biz.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
All right, welcome back to the Coaches Show. Again, our thanks to Blair Elks Falcons head golf coach Leroy Bernsketter for joining us in the first half hour of the Coaches Show. Again, a good week for the Falcons, a great week in golf for them. On Monday, they won the quad against School of the Osage, Hallsville, and Versailles, then went to Versailles on Wednesday and won the Versailles Tiger Invitational. Then Thursday, the Boonville Masters Tournament, a win there. Jake Clauser led the Falcons with a 76 in that tournament on Thursday. Next action, for the Falcons scheduled for Wednesday, as they will be involved in the Southern Boone Classic. And then they have the Helias and Jefferson City Invitationals later in April. Again, thank you very much for joining us, Blair Oaks Falcons golf coach Leroy Bernsketter. Jefferson City, Helias, and Blair Oaks all involved in the Jefferson City Baseball Classic. Games were scheduled for Thursday. Two were scheduled for Thursday. There was supposed to be an off day Friday, and then two games were scheduled for Saturday. Due to the weather, the Thursday games got moved to Friday. They did play the games yesterday, but games scheduled for today have been canceled due to the weather. And we have with us Helias Crusaders head baseball coach Chris Wyrick. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. How you doing?
You know, this is a heck of a baseball tournament, this Jefferson City Classic. A lot of good teams in town to play that.
It is. It is. Of course, we have the local teams, which are really good. And they always bring in the out-of-town teams that try to get the best ones. And they do a good job of that.
You know, spend a moment and talk about that. You just said teams in town are having great years so far. I mean, Jefferson City won twice yesterday. They beat Eureka 3-2, beat Pembroke Hill 5-4. The Jays now are 10-2 on the season. The Blair Oaks Falcons, they are now 9-2, and they're riding a 7-game winning streak. And you had an 8-game winning streak snap last night. You were 8-3 on the season, so all three teams playing very well.
Yeah, all three teams, very talented teams, playing well right now. There's a lot of good baseball in Central Missouri. I think sometimes Central Missouri gets a bad rap of, you know, we're not the big cities and, you know, all the talents in the big cities, but we can play some baseball in Central Missouri.
Let's go back to earlier in the week. You opened up Central Missouri Activities Conference play with a victory on the road at Columbia-Hickman. You beat the Cupies 6-4. Tell me about that.
Well, that was a good win. Hickman has all kinds of arms up there. They got guys that can really throw the baseball, so... We beat a good pitcher. Their starter's last name was Hemmer. He's 85-86, and we did a good job. We put a lot of good swings on him. We were aggressive in the strike zone, and we took advantage of some mistakes, and that was a good win. Anytime you beat Hickman at Hickman, that's a good win.
Yeah, we talked with you when you were down in Florida a couple of weeks ago. That was a great trip for your baseball team, wasn't it?
It was. It was. We learned a lot about each other. We came together as a team. We just got better. That was the whole idea of the trip.
And you won every game you played down there, didn't you?
We did. We did. We went 5-0. Even JV won all four of their games too. So it was a good trip. You know, we faced a lot of good arms, and that's what we wanted. That prepared us for whenever we get back here.
Coach, when we had you on a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about your schedule, and we talked about the JV tournament, the Wood Bat tournament coming up later in the year for the Crusaders. And you talked about, just briefly talked about, a wood bat swing versus a aluminum swing. And someone asked me, what's the difference between the two? So I thought, you know what, we're going to have him on in a couple of weeks. We're going to ask him that question.
Well, the wood bat's more inloaded. You know, the weight's more at the end of the bat. The aluminum bats this day and age, well, they've always been evenly distributed weight. So there's a little bit of a difference. You have to use your hands a little bit more with a wooden bat to really get that barrel to the ball. You can have more of a long swing. You don't have to be so exact with the aluminum bat. So there's two different swings. But the bat path should be the same. But you know, there's definitely a difference.
You know, when you take a look at it from the standpoint of a Major League Baseball scout going to high school games and college games, taking a look at players and maybe seeing whether those players can make it to the Major League level, how difficult is it to evaluate that with them playing with an aluminum bat?
Well, and I've said this forever, Division I talent and that kind of talent, really sticks out. And it's really obvious. You can see it right away. The scouts look for hands. They're looking for bat speed. They're looking for foot speed. They're looking for how fast you are, arm strength, obviously. But they're checking out bat path. You know, how do the hands get to the baseball? Things like that, and they can tell for the most part. Even though a kid's swinging a little bit of bat, if it's going to translate to a wood.
Going into the tournament yesterday, you're only giving up about 2 runs a game.
Yeah, our pitchers are doing a great job. You know, they keep us in ball games. They're just doing a great job. They're throwing up a ton of strikes. I mean, we had kind of a rough day yesterday. But that happens. You know, that was just a blip on the screen. So they're doing a great job for us, throwing a ton of strikes. They're making teams swing the bat.
anytime you do that, especially in high school, you know, you're going to be successful.
Two games yesterday, you won the first game by a score of 4-2. You beat Troy. Alex Lathan gets the win. Give me a capsule of that victory.
Well, Alex really threw well. He really threw well. He got the save in the Hickman game, and his pitch count was low enough that we could come back and bring him back yesterday and start him. And man, he took the ball and said, "I've got it." You know, he threw five really good innings and pitched really, really well. Gave up two runs. But part of that was our defense. We had a couple of misplays there, but he really threw the ball well. And Alex is kind of kid's going to throw a lot of strikes. You know, he throws a lot of strikes with more than one pitch, and that's going to get a lot of hitters out.
And you beat a pretty good Troy team, didn't you?
Yeah, they're scrappy, man. They have guys that can swing it, and the two guys they threw at us had really good arms. So again, that's where Florida really helped us out, because we faced guys just like that in Florida, and that really helped us out yesterday. So. You know, the guys are gaining confidence, at the plate, that we can face a pitcher that's got good stuff and we can do the job.
The second game, a late game last night for you. Blair Oaks wins by a score of 6-0 in that contest. And, boy, they had some great pitching, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. Mr. Liberick was pretty good. He was really competitive on the mound. He's got a great arm. Start there. He's got a great arm. He's got good stuff. Again, he was throwing his fastball pretty much anywhere he wanted to. His breaking ball was nice and tight and kept us off balance. And he just attacked us from the very first pitch of the game.
Yeah, the Falcons throw a no-hitter last night. That doesn't happen very often to the Crusaders, does it?
We got a hit. We got a bunt single. I don't know if we got no hit, but we got a bunt single in the sixth inning. But yeah, it was a good outing for him. He's a good pitcher.
You're off for a couple of days now, aren't you?
Yeah, we don't play till next weekend, so it's going to be a good chance to get back and get back to the basics and just have three or four good days of practice and prepare for, we play Cade Notre Dame down there, and Kelly, who's, I think they're ranked second or third in Class 4, so it's going to be a challenge for us, but we got some time to prepare.
I was going to say, with the fact that you played so many games in a short period of time down in Florida and you've been pretty busy up to this point, you probably like to have this ability to step away for a couple of days, don't you?
Yeah, we need it. We need a chance just to decompress a little bit and, again, get some good practicing in and just prepare for the second half of our season. So, our season's half over already. It's amazing to think that, but we've only got 13 games left, and we're going to have to play really well hitting in our district, because we got bumped to Class 6, and our district is loaded, so we got to be ready for that.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the district in just a second. I didn't realize that half the season's over already. Boy, that it comes quick, doesn't it?
It does. And again, we played a lot of our games early. Mm-hmm. we played probably 8 games in a week's span. So it was a situation where we wanted to get a lot of games in and prepare for, the second half of our season is really tough. Schedule gets a little bit tougher here in the second half. So. We're going to prepare for that and, again, have a little gap in the middle so we can reevaluate and get better.
Well, let's step back and talk about the first part of the season then. As you split it up, pitching, offense, let's talk about pitching first of all. What have you liked most about your team in that regard?
Well, again, for the most part, we've made teams swing the bat. We've had several walks, but those have came in 2 or 3 games out of our 11. So really, for the most part, we're really making the other team swing the bat and make our defense play. Again, our field is huge, and the fields in Florida were huge. So see how far a guy can hit it, and make a play on defense. So for the most part, our pitchers have really done a good job keeping us in games and throwing a ton of strikes. So I'm really pleased with our pitching.
How about your offense?
Our offense, we're still trying to figure things out. We some games are really aggressive, some games were passive, and just think, you got to be consistent. If it's your approach, how aggressive you are, you just have to be consistent. And right now, we're not very consistent, so we're going to work on that all week.
You talked about the district a moment ago. Class 6 district will have Blue Springs, Blue Springs South, Capital City, Helias, Jefferson City, Columbia, Rockbridge, Sedalia, Smith, Cotton, and Waynesville. There's 8 teams in the district. Several of the teams are in the conference, so you'll have a chance to see them during the regular season as well as in district play.
Yeah, it's again. Whenever we join a conference, everybody's like, "Well, that's going to be great." I said, "Well, we play everybody anyway, so it's not really that big of a deal." But it's going to be good for us to be able to see a lot of those teams before, we get to the district tournament. So, in the past, sometimes we played maybe one team in our district because the district's come out so late, you really can't schedule teams that late. So it's going to be good for us to have, you know, have an idea what we're up against when we go into districts.
As you mentioned, this is a good district, isn't it?
It is. You know, every time you got both Blue Springs schools in your district, you got the Jays in your district, and Rockbridge, it's going to be tough. You know, it's one of those situations where we got put in a place where I don't think we should be in, but you know, it is what it is, and we have to go play. And you know, it's going to be tough, but I think we can get it done if we play well.
You know, one of the things I thought was interesting when I took a look at the district setup is the fact that Blue Springs and Blue Springs South are in the district, and Columbia Hickman and Columbia Battle are in a different district out of Columbia. I thought that was kind of interesting because Rockbridge was in your district, and yet Hickman and Battle are not in the district.
I'm going to have to put the fifth on that
yeah,
one.
You probably have an opinion you don't want to give me, right?
I have an opinion I don't want to give you, but it happens all the time. You know, one year, I mean, I think every time we've been in the same class as the Jays, we've always been in their district. It makes sense, right? Because we're a mile away from each other. But, I don't know. I don't know how they do it. You know, Waynesville's in a district with Blue Springs. That doesn't make much sense to me either. But, you know, that's not my job, so.
Chris, when you take a look at it as far as district is concerned, you know, there were different setups for basketball this year as far as, you know, it used to be in the past that there was a school that hosted the district and everybody played at that school in district play. Is there going to be a similar setup for baseball this year where you'll have the top seeds host games, or will there be one place that everybody will play?
We're going to have one place. Sedalia's going to host it. You know, it's halfway between, you know, both sets of schools. So we voted, and Sedalia is going to host the district this year.
Very good. Appreciate your time this morning. Good luck the rest of the way.
All right. Thank you, Kevin.
Elias Crusaders head baseball coach Chris Weirich. We're back with more after the break. It's the Coach's Show on KWOS.
From Michael Jordan to Matthew McConaughey, celebrity endorsements have been around for a while. Now, a new challenger has stepped into the advertising arena, the social media influencer. At Zimmer Communications, on-air personalities are always engaging with your potential customers. They talk to thousands of their best friends every day, so why wouldn't you want them talking about you? Download the new ebook, Tapping into the Influence of Local Social Media Influencers, at ZimmerCommunications.com. And your brand will be all right, all right, all right. You know business. We grow business. ZimmerCommunications.com.
2021, in an almost submerged mid-Missouri, as citizens struggle to stay afloat, a horrible plan is hatched by the elusive Hailboy to destroy what remains of already ravaged roofs. Meanwhile, deep in the heart of Hailboy's headquarters.
This isn't hailstorm to behold. Shingles will be shattered, rooftops to be ravaged.
Hold that thought, Hailboy. A secretive silhouette has emerged from the shadows. It looks like the Great Panther! Always on the prowl in search of rooftops and siding in need of repair and replacement. Hailboy has been had. Rooftops rejoice!
This is Greg A. Hodges, a.k.a. the Gray Panther. If you notice cracks or fading in your siding, you may need your roof inspected as well. But don't worry, if you've been hammered by Sergeant Storm's henchman, a.k.a. Hailboy, send us a signal at HodgesMo.com or call 573-ROOFING.
Protecting patrons and installing high-quality, reliable roofing systems since 1976. HodgesMo.com.
My name is Cornell Dillard. I was stubborn from getting a hearing aid because when a person finds out that you can't hear, they start talking loud. Two, they talk slow. I went years with hearing impairment, didn't realize what I missed out on. I went to hearing aid consultants, and it was the best move that I made. If you have an inner problem, I definitely recommend that you go to those good folks.
Hearing Aid Consultants in Allmake Repair Lab. We are here for you today so you can hear tomorrow. Online at hearingaidconsultants.com.
The Helias Foundation would like to express their continued thanks to their corporate crusaders for their continued support of Helias Catholic High School and Helias Foundation, American Family Insurance, Greg Cobb Agency, Capital Region Medical Center, Central Bank, Coca-Cola Bottling Company, DeLong's and Diamond Pet Foods, Farmer Holding Company, Freeman Mortuary, Hawthorne Bank and Huber & Associates, Jefferson Bank, Quick Car, Riley Chevrolet Toyota, Twee House Excavating, and Winter Dent. They also want to extend their warmest gratitude to alumni, local businesses, the area community, and friends of Helias.
Leslie Davis with Keller Williams Realty has a pop quiz for you. What do you get when you have record low interest rates and record high property demand? You get the perfect time to sell or buy a home. Buyers, you can save thousands of dollars by taking advantage of low interest rates. And with low inventory, sellers can get top dollar for their home. These favorable conditions won't last forever. The question is, do you want to benefit before they're gone? Call Leslie Davis, Keller Williams Realty. Use Leslie's 26 years of experience. JeffCityRealEstate.com.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back to the Coaches Show. We are joined now by Blair Oaks Falcons head baseball coach Mike DeBilia. Boy, Mike, you are having a great year so far, aren't you?
Yeah, we got a little bit of a slow start, but the last few weeks is we've really kind of picked up the pace and played a lot better baseball, so it's been fun.
Well, you had a good day yesterday, two victories in the Jefferson City Baseball Classic.
Yeah, started out with Lutheran St. Charles out of St. Louis, and we knew they'd be a tough team. They threw one of their best pitchers against us, and it was a tight game early, but our guys just kept grinding it out, and we ended up, you know, the score was a little bit overblown. It wasn't that big of a deficit for the most part. They threw a lot of their lower pitchers to try to save pitching the tournament, and it was a solid win for us. And then, you know, beating Helias last night, I mean, anytime you can do that, that's obviously a positive thing. So we're pretty happy where we were.
Let's step back to the first game. As you mentioned, a victory over Lutheran St. Charles by a score 16-3. You get a big sixth inning as you score 10 runs.
Yeah, as I said, you know, we kind of, you know, they had a good pitcher, and we did a really good job of getting his pitch count up. He, you know, even the outs we made a lot of times were 6, 7, 8 pitch at bats. And so by the fifth inning, they had to pull that kid due to pitch limits. And, you know, their bullpen, you know, was a little thin. And, you know, we took advantage of that for sure. So, but I really liked, I was really more impressed with how we did in the first five innings against their good pitcher. I mean, scoring 6 runs, and really competing at the plate. So it was a really good offensive performance.
Second game last night, a victory over Helias by a score of 6-0. Tell me about your pitching staff for that one.
Well, Will Liberte, he's only a sophomore. And you know, last year we'd heard a lot about him before he ever got to our school. And, you know, with last year getting canceled, we really weren't sure what we were getting. And, man, he showed it last night what he was about. You know, he's been dominant in his first two starts, too. But, you know, not against the quality of competition that Helias does, you know, and for him to go out and throw a no-hitter, or at least 6 innings of a no-hitter with 13 strikeouts, using predominantly fastballs. I mean, he probably threw 80% fastballs last night. So he's really impressed. It was really impressive, and I wasn't expecting quite that performance. I thought he could be dominant, but not quite like that. And then Kate Stockman, the senior, who's a 4-year, you know, varsity player for us, comes in and pitches a good, you know, 7th inning there. So it was unbelievable performance for those guys.
You know, Will's a left-handed pitcher, and you take a look at your pitching staff, and I think two things when you take a look at the Falcons. One is that you have depth at the pitching staff. The second thing is that you have a good combination of right-handed throwers and left-handed throwers, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, coming into the year, I thought that was our biggest strength was the pitching depth. I mean, we could go about 6, 7 guys deep who can get people out. And having those lefties in there, you know, we're able to, if we get into a game where we need to, we can mix and match, we can match up guys and things like that. So it helps a lot. But, you know, we were kind of disappointing that we're getting canceled today in our tournament, because it was one of those things that our pitching depth, I think, would set us apart from a lot of teams. And we're kind of hoping to show that off a little bit in this tournament. But, we got a good thing going, no doubt.
Yeah, when you're playing well, you want to keep playing, don't you?
Yeah. Baseball is one of those games that's like contagious, you know. And, you know, just the way it goes, especially in the spring of Missouri, just you got to deal with the weather.
Last year, due to the pandemic, the season, the spring sports were canceled. So you are the defending state champion still, aren't you?
Everybody says that. I don't feel that. I mean, it seems like a long time ago. You know, it was an awesome thing that we did in 2019. I'm very proud of it. But, you know, we're in a different class against different teams and, you know, predominantly different players. So, I mean, everybody could say that, but I'm kind of moved on from it, you know. So I guess I got to keep answering the question.
Coach, what was it like the first practice after not being able to play last year?
Elvis is exciting. You know, the kids, you know, we did practice for, what, 10 days, I think, last year, you know, and that had a feel that, you know, last year, I think we knew something was coming, you know, with all the stuff that was going on. And this year, I think it was more,
We were focused on getting the game won and getting the season going. And the kids were, like I said, really excited and focused on, you know, playing baseball. Like I said, there were so many distractions last year. I never felt we really got into that groove of playing baseball. And I think this year we definitely did, because I think we could see that most likely everything's going to go, you know, end up okay here, and we're going to get a season in and we can accomplish the things we want to accomplish.
One of the things when we talk to you about your baseball team, you like to put the schedule together that challenges your team, don't you?
Yeah, we do. I mean, you know, I think we're at a level in our program that we could compete with anybody. I didn't say we could beat everybody. I don't say we're going to, you know, go, we're the best team in the state. I don't think we're this or that, but I think we're good enough that we can put our guys against good competition and win or lose, be able to at least represent ourselves and all that. You know, and so we've tried to do it. We're going to continue to, you know, try to get tougher teams, you know, and just challenge our guys, because at the end of the day, our record is not that important, you know. I mean, if we're out and get beaten 15-0 every game, that's not doing the same good either. But as long as we can compete against those really good schools, it's good for our kids to play them.
There were some impressive numbers that I took a look at about your baseball team heading into the game against Helias last night. In six games, the Falcons have scored 10 or more runs. The last four games heading into that Helias game, you had outscored your opponent 61-9, and you're averaging over 10 runs a game so far, and that is 11 games into the season.
Yeah, I mean, offensively, we're, you know, kind of like our pitching staff, we're deep. You know, we do have a couple really good hitters, but, you know, I think anybody in our lineup can, you know, can do some special things. I mean, our nine-hole Dylan Hare got on base 10 straight at bats at one point. Our five-hole Reed Dudenhafer just had 12 straight at bats with a hit. You know, they got broke yesterday. I mean, so we got some guys who can do some big things, but, I mean, there's just no easy outs in our lineup. And so when you can do that, you put a lot of pressure on the other team. And, you know, and our competition in this little stretch here has not been the best in all the cases. We played a few of the lower teams that we played, but we still have swung the bats really well. We get on base, we run the bases well, and it's just really hard to shut us down for a whole game. So hopefully we continue to do that.
We've talked about the depth that you have at pitching. You have experience on the left side of the infield, and you have depth at catcher too, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the good thing about Blair Oaks is there's a lot of kids that play baseball. So, you know, to have two solid catchers in Levi Haney and Parker Wilson, you know, and heck, we have a couple JV guys who we had on the bench yesterday who could have stepped in and played if we needed. You know, and then Reed Dudenhafer, Josh Isaacs at third base. Reed was an All-State player as a freshman, you know, and Josh has gotten so much better. He's taken a lot of reps from Reed, just not because Reed's doing anything wrong, as Josh has gotten improved a lot. And then Lane Libert was a starter as a sophomore at shortstop and also played some third base. So having those guys there that have played a bunch of baseball and obviously have a lot of talent, it's pretty big. And we got a 4-year starter in Ian Nolf at second base too. So it's pretty good deal.
Getting everybody enough playing time is a good problem to have for a coach, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, but it does create problems because we have so many good players that really deserve to play, and we can only put 9 or 10 out there at a time. 10 obviously with the DH and stuff, but you know, sometimes it does create some issues on the team, and guys, you know, I don't want to say it's selfish, but everybody wants to be on the field, so it is a challenge. It's a good problem for a coach, but it also can create problems if the kids let it.
We mentioned you're 9-2 heading into the game Monday against Fulton, a 7-game winning streak. What do you like most about your baseball team right now?
Well, I think we're finally now that we've played a little bit of I wasn't feeling great about our team a couple weeks ago. I thought we were winning games, but we weren't playing the way we were capable of. You know, we were just more talented. And I think yesterday our kids stepped up, you know, with their team, it was more of a team effort. Guys were happy about other people doing good things, and we were celebrating the accomplishments of other guys. And that's a big part of it that we haven't always had. And then I think that, you know, our confidence level definitely went up yesterday. I mean, I think we're still a little bit unsure of ourselves, you know, and then for us to beat two really good teams yesterday, I think that our confidence and our effort has been a lot better, and I think that we'll continue to improve on that, hopefully.
Yeah, due to the weather, won't be able to c- continue the classic. And I know you mentioned it earlier. You'd like to be out there playing today, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it'd be great because we have a lot of arms left. I mean, we have, you know, we got four or five guys still that have not pitched in the tournament who can get people out, you know, and we were hoping to get a chance to show that. I mean, we were to play a good Troy team who I know went 0-2 yesterday, but they're a really good team, actually. I mean, they were with Helias, and, you know, and then we were actually already in the championship game due to the standings we'd have been in there, and we might have had another shot at playing Jeff City, who beat us 3-2 earlier in this year. So it would have been fun to try to avenge that loss, but, you know, that's, like I said, it's disappointing, but it's understandable, obviously.
Coach, thanks for the visit this morning. Continued success to you and the Falcons.
All right, thank you, sir.
All right, Blair Oaks Falcons head baseball coach Mike D'Amelia. Again, two wins yesterday in the Jefferson City Baseball Classic for the Falcons as they win their opening round game against Lutheran St. Charles by a score of 16-3. Won the nightcap as they shut out Helias by a score of 6-0. With those victories, they are now 9-2 on the season and riding a 7-game winning streak. Next action for the Falcons will be on Monday as they'll take on Fulton. We'll see you next week.
News Radio 950 KWOS and on FM at 104.5 KWOS Jefferson City, K283 CL Jefferson City. It's 8 o'clock.